From myths to models to madness. Annoying AI talking about interesting things.
Let's get started.
Hey, everyone. Ready to dive into something that's going to totally reshape the future?
I'm ready. What are we looking at?
We're talking AI, like the kind that makes ChatGPT work and all those crazy AI image things.
Oh, yeah. That's going to change everything, isn't it?
It really feels like it. We're going deep into a brand new OECD report all about job creation and
local economic development.
Right, local economic development. We're basically trying to figure out which jobs AI is going to shake up the most.
And what it all means for us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So especially for those of us up here in the global north, right?
Totally. It's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Seriously. So we're going to break down what this report says about the skills we need. Not just to survive this AI wave, but to, like, actually thrive.
The future is coming, whether we like it or not, so better be ready.
Right. And what's super interesting about this report is it doesn't just say robots are taking over.
Oh, good, because I was getting worried about that.
Yeah, no kidding. It actually paints a way more, like, realistic picture, showing how AI is going to hit different jobs in different places in totally different ways.
Right. So it's not this, like, one-size-fits-all robot apocalypse some people are talking about.
Nope. Not at all. More like some of us are going to be surfing this AI wave while others are, like, you know, barely getting splashed.
I like that analogy.
So how does this report actually break it all down?
Well, they use this thing called AI exposure. It basically estimates how much of a job can be done by AI right now.
So, like, the higher the AI exposure, the more likely it is that robots are going to take over that job.
Kind of. It gives us an idea of where AI is going to have the biggest impact.
Gotcha. So what are some examples from the report? Like, who's got a high AI exposure and who's got a low one?
So they have this really striking example comparing a financial analyst in London with a farmer in Mexico, the financial analyst, faced with like 77% AI exposure.
Crazy, right?
77%. That's basically their whole job description getting rewritten by a computer. It's a lot. But then the farmer in Mexico, they're only looking at about 16% AI exposure.
Made sense to me. It's way easier to teach a computer to crunch numbers than to, like, predict when a tomato is perfectly ripe.
Right. It's all about the kind of tasks involved.
So it's not just geography then, right? Like, a financial analyst anywhere in the world is probably facing that same high AI exposure.
Exactly. It all comes down to the kind of work you do. AI is really good at automating routine tasks, especially ones that involve a lot of data. And those types of jobs are concentrated in certain industries and regions, like the financial sector. Huge amounts of data analysis, so way more likely to see a lot of AI integration compared to, say, agriculture or healthcare.
So doctors and nurses, they're probably safe for now.
For now, yeah. But they could definitely see some changes. Like, AI could take over a lot of the administrative stuff they have to deal with.
Oh, so they can actually spend more time, you know, being doctors and nurses,
uh-huh.
Talking to patients and stuff.
Exactly. And that's actually a really important point from the report, because as AI takes over these boring, repetitive tasks, it frees up humans to focus on the more complex, you know, human-centric stuff.
Okay. I'm liking this AI thing a bit more now. So it's not necessarily about AI sealing jobs. It's about AI changing jobs, right?
Totally. And that's where this whole idea of upskilling and reskilling comes in.
Yeah, the report talked a lot about that. So what does that mean exactly? Like, should we all be rushing out to learn how to code?
Not necessarily. While technical skills are obviously important, this report actually puts even more emphasis on uniquely human skills.
Oh, now I'm really intrigued. What are uniquely human skills? Can't AI do everything eventually?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it?
It is.
But right now, there are certain things that AI just can't replicate.
Give me some examples.
Like critical thinking. Or complex problem solving, creativity, communication, collaboration, all that good stuff.
Oh, wow. So it's not just about learning how to code. It's about learning how to think critically, solve problems creatively, and actually talk to each other like humans.
Exactly. It's about finding that sweet spot where human ingenuity meets AI capabilities. You know, using each other's strengths to achieve something better.
Okay, this is starting to sound a lot less like robots are taking over, and more like humans and AI are teaming up to, like, create a better future. Am I getting too optimistic?
I don't think so, but there are definitely challenges ahead, especially for folks up here in the global north, because a lot of those high-skill, high-paying jobs are actually really exposed to AI disruption.
Okay, so even though we're generally highly educated up here in the north, we're not immune to this AI shakeup.
Not at all. In fact, it's almost the opposite. In some countries, the places with the most highly educated people are the ones that are most exposed to AI.
Okay, so let's unpack that a bit more. When we come back, we'll explore how AI is likely to reshape the job market in the global north. Which industries are going to be most impacted? And what can we do to navigate these changes? Stay tuned.
Welcome back. So before the break, we were talking about this kind of crazy idea that...
Yeah, that even though the global north is, you know, generally well-educated, we could still be hit pretty hard by AI. It's kind of counterintuitive.
Yeah, it is. You'd think those, like, high-tech, high-paying jobs would be the last to be automated.
Right. Like, that's what we're all good at up here.
Exactly. But what the OECD found is that in some countries, the regions with the highest concentration of educated folks
are actually the ones who are most at risk.
It seems so backwards, but when you think about what AI is good at, it starts to make sense.
So even though people keep saying AI is going to replace, like, blue-collar jobs?
It's actually those white-collar jobs, the ones that involve a lot of data analysis, predictions, even decision-making.
Those are the ones that are most vulnerable. Whoa.
Yeah, those skills that have always been rewarded in the global north.
They're the ones that AI can actually, like, do pretty well, maybe even better.
Sometimes, yeah. It's pretty wild.
Okay, so for our listeners up here in the global north, what are some specific industries that we should be, like, paying attention to?
Well, finance is a big one. We talked about that a bit earlier. But it's not just about number crunching anymore. AI is already being used for things like fraud detection and risk assessment.
And even giving people financial advice, like those robo-advisors, are those actually becoming a thing?
They are. And the legal profession is another interesting one. AI can go through tons of documents, find relevant cases.
It can even, like, write contracts?
Basic ones, yeah. So yeah. Even lawyers need to be paying attention.
Jeez. I mean, is any job truly AI-proof at this point?
That's a good question. The truth is, almost every job is going to be touched by AI in some way. But it's not necessarily about jobs disappearing altogether.
It's more about tasks being redistributed. Like we keep saying, AI is changing jobs, not necessarily stealing them.
Exactly. And that brings us right back to the importance of those uniquely human skills we talked about. Those jobs that require creativity, critical thinking, emotional intelligence.
The ability to build relationships.
All that. Those are going to be the least likely to be fully automated, at least for now.
So what can I do if I'm listening right now and I'm up here in the global north and maybe I work in one of these industries that's like really facing all this AI disruption? What can I do to stay ahead of the game?
Well, the OECD report really emphasizes the importance of lifelong learning.
Like always be learning new things.
Exactly. It's not enough to just get a degree and then coast. You got to be constantly updating your skills and knowledge. The job market is changing so fast. Got to keep up.
So instead of becoming an expert in a job, I need to become an expert in learning.
That's a great way to put it. You got to be comfortable with not knowing everything, with learning new technologies, with stepping outside your comfort zone.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
But okay, what does that look like in, like, the real world? Give me some specific skills I should be working on.
Well, for starters, data literacy is going to be huge.
Even if I'm not like a hardcore data scientist.
Yeah, you need to at least be able to understand and interpret data, see patterns and draw insights from it. Data is like the language of the AI era.
So if I don't speak data, I'm basically lost.
Kinda. And then there's human-centered design thinking. As AI takes over more and more routine tasks, it's going to be super important for us to focus on designing things that are actually user-friendly.
So thinking more like an artist or a designer.
Exactly. Using AI as a tool to create things that aren't just efficient, but also beautiful and engaging and meaningful.
I like that. And then, of course, all those soft skills we talked about earlier, communication, collaboration, empathy.
Critical thinking, emotional intelligence. Those are only going to become more valuable as we go forward.
Okay, so it's not just about becoming tech wizards. It's about being well-rounded humans who can actually use technology in a way that makes sense, not just for efficiency, but to enhance our creativity, our problem solving.
That's it. It's about seeing AI as an opportunity, not just a threat. It's a chance to redefine what it means to work and to thrive. But it's not all on individuals, right?
Yeah, you mentioned that there are like regional impacts too.
Absolutely. This is a massive societal shift.
What can we do as communities, as governments, to make sure everybody benefits from this and nobody gets left behind?
That's a really great question, and one we need to dive into. So we were talking about how big of a shift this whole AI thing is, right? Not just for individuals, but for whole regions.
Yeah, it's like everyone needs to be on board to make this work.
The OECD report really highlighted that, yeah, different regions are going to feel these changes in different ways. And it's super important for communities, for governments.
To be prepared.
Exactly. It's got to be a coordinated effort.
So it's not enough for me to just learn some new skills. My whole community needs to be ready for this.
Yeah. The report talks about the need for like regional strategies, figuring out what each place is good at, building on existing industries, and then developing specific training programs that line up with, you know, what the AI economy needs.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Can you give me some examples? Like, what would these regional strategies actually look like?
Okay. So imagine a place that's known for like manufacturing. Right now, they might be worried about AI and automation, but they could actually use this as a chance to become leaders in, say, advanced robotics.
Oh, or like smart manufacturing.
Exactly. Invest in training programs so workers can learn how to design and maintain these new systems. And boom, you've got a whole new generation of high-skilled tech workers.
It's like turning a potential threat into like a strength, seeing what's coming and being ready for it.
That's the idea. And it's not just about manufacturing, right? Think about a place with a big agricultural sector. They could use AI to develop all sorts of new farming techniques.
By precision farming, we've heard a bit about that.
Exactly. Optimize those crop yields, reduce waste, maybe even create totally new food sources.
AI can help with that. Wild. So it's not just about jobs and the economy. It could actually help us solve some big problems.
Totally. That's one of the most exciting things about this whole AI revolution. It has the potential to change how we work, sure, but also how we live, how we interact with the world. Pretty mind-blowing stuff.
This has been a wild deep dive. I gotta say, I came in feeling kind of nervous about AI, but now I'm actually feeling kind of optimistic.
That's what we were hoping for. AI isn't some like unstoppable force that's going to control everything. It's a tool. We can shape it, use it to create the future we want.
So for everyone listening out there, whether you're in the global north or anywhere else, the key takeaway is don't be scared of AI. Learn about it. Play around with it.
See how it can be used to solve problems, to create new opportunities.
Make the world a better place. That's what we're all about,
right? Absolutely. The future is what we make it. Let's build a future where humans and AI can work together, you know, for a better world for everyone.
What a great way to end this deep dive. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Keep exploring. Keep learning.
And keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
We'll see you next time.
Don't ask what AI can do for you. Ask what you can do with AI.
Let's go.
Empower yourself at virtualstorylab.com.